You haven't learned the Gemara in so long.
The Torah tells a story that Yaakov Avinu had a fight with a Malach. It's unclear in the Chumash, but that's what it says in the Navi. Thank you. And the Malach broke his leg a little bit. And to remember that incident, Kalkein Leyochel Bnei Yisrael Gid Anoshim. The Jewish people, the Baruch Shalom, gave us a mitzvah. We are not permitted to eat the Gid Anoshim. There's a Machlokes Hatarayim where it's also Bahanoah. And Shaila and Halacha, we paskin as Mutta Bahanoah. We paskin, we'll discuss it when we get to that Gemara. What about Yava Korban? Korban Oilo, let's say. Korban Oil, you burn everything on the Mizbech. You don't need anything. Is it permissible to be makriv the whole korban oil with the gid anoshe? Gid anoshe is treif, but treif is only Jews are not allowed to eat. What's wrong? It says al kein layochel b'nei Yisrael is gid anoshe. It doesn't say al kein layochel amizbeach is gid anoshe. Huh? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Yecheskel memashke Yisrael. You're only allowed to be makriv on the mizbeach such wine to pour the wine for nisach hayayin if it's kosher wine. If it's treif for wine, we're on tzadik amid beis. Daf tzadik amid beis. If it's tray for wine, how do you have tray for wine? Or law, kloya kerem, is tray for wine, so you're not allowed to use it. Mashki yisom and amut al yisro. Or included in the pasuk, mashki yisro is talking about wine, included in that pasuk is also if you have a behemoth that's a tray for. If you have an animal that's a mintome, let's say a horse or a donkey, so a mintome, you're not allowed to be makir on the mizbeach, period. The hegdish is not chal. But let's say you're makdish an animal and then it breaks a leg. And it becomes a behemoth treifa. So sometimes it'll be a balmum. Okay, sometimes if it breaks the leg, it'll be a balmum. Let's say it's a treifa inside the animal. It's not on the outside. So that's not called a balmum. A mum is only if it's on the outside, if it's nika. So the din is that if you have, that's a gemar, menochas daf hey, if you have a behemoth that's a behemoth tahora, it's a kosher animal, but it's a treifa, so also it's excluded based on the mashke Yisrael. Not allowed to be makriv, but there mashke Yisrael, the whole animal is a behemah treifa. Here, the whole animal is a behemah ksheira. The gid anoshe is treif. So, do you have to remove the gid anoshe? So, the Gemara quoted, this was a machlokes hatanoim, different shades of opinion. So, one opinion was if the gid anoshe is still attached to the animal, you can be to the yerech, you can be makriv it the way it is. If someone already detached the gid anoshe from the yerech, so it's separate. So you shouldn't put it on the mizbeach. So the Gemara quotes, and we don't paskin like that. We Rav Huna says when you have here the fifth line from the top of tzadik on the base. Amar Rav Huna gid anoshe shel ola korban oli, burn the whole thing. So he says you're not allowed to leave it in the yerech. You're not permitted to be makriv to burn the whole yerech with the gid anoshe. You have to be cholzo. You have to cut it out. And throw it in a tapuach. Tapuach is an apple. So on the Mizbeach, they had fires all over the place. They had bonfires all over. And there were makriv karbonos all over the place. By korban oil, they burnt everything. And by all the other karbonos, they only burnt the chalev. But there were fires all over. So what do you do after everything turns into ash? So there was a big pile of ash, of deshen in the middle. After everything already burnt to ashes, you take all the ashes and you put them in the middle. It's going to be such a big pile of ashes, so ultimately you're going to have to take it out chutz l'sholosh machnas. That's not the same as Truma Sadeshin. Truma Sadeshin, every single morning, there was a mitzvah to take off maloha machto, Rashi says, to take off a kli. You really need a kazayis, but Rashi always writes maloha machto. You need a minimum of a kazayis, but they took a machto, and they took ashes from the mizbech, ashes that were completely burnt. You can have ashes from the wood. You're not yotze if you take the ashes from the wood. You have to take ashes from the flesh. It's a different kind of ash. You have to take flesh that burned till it turned into ashes. So there's a mitzvah every morning to take a kazayis worth, a maloi hamachta worth of that, and put it on the floor next to the mizbech. And for many, many years, a miracle would occur. It would be nivla b'mkomo. It would be swallowed up. The earth would open up and it would be swallowed up. But even if the nest doesn't occur, that's the mitzvah of Trumas Adesh, and every day to take a little bit off. But this tapuach, this big pile of ashes in the middle, so you put the ashes that are in the way, you want to make fires around to burn karbonis, put the ashes there. So if you have a karbon oil and you cut out cholzo, you cut out the Gid Anoshe, because you're not allowed to, Rav Huna holds, like the Tani, you're not allowed to be makriv on the Mizbech, even though the whole animal is kosher. You're not allowed to be makriv because it's a violation of Mashkisom and Amutaliso, that Posek and Yecheskel. So you cut out the Gid Anoshe. So what do you do with it? You throw it in the garbage? So he says you throw it in the pile with the ashes in the middle. And ultimately, after a month or so, every month they would take this big ton, the big pile of ashes in the middle, the tapuach of deshen, and take it michutz l'sholosh machnas and dispose of it over there. So that's what Rav Huna says. So the Gemara has about 10 lines later, on the line where it says Malachi Aleph. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kavase de Rav Huna. There's a brisa that supports Rav Huna. There were brises against Rav Huna. There were brises that said that Kol Zman Gid Anoshe is still attached to the Yerech. He can be makter with the way it is, but they found a brisa that supports Rav Huna. Gid Anoshe Shal Shlomim, if you have a Korban Shlomim, so the Korban Shlomim, the Yisraelim eat it, you don't even need Kohanim to eat it. So if you have a Korban Shlomim in the Beis HaMikdosh, so people are going to eat it, so you have to be careful not to eat the Gid Anoshe. You have to cut it out. What do you do with it? There was an Amas HaMayim in the Azorah that water would flow, and the dam from the Mizbech would roll over there. They would collect garbage there also. So you throw out the Gid Anoshe of a Korban Shlomim, you throw it there. Mishal Oila, Korban Oila, you bring the whole thing on top of the Mizbech. It's more bekavadik to take the Korban Oila on top of the Mizbech to burn everything. And you cut off the Gid Anoshe on top of the Mizbech, and you put it, cholzer l'tapuch, you throw it into the tapuch. Rashi over here raises an issue that Rashi and Tosfos discuss. A korban oil, you have to burn the whole thing, so that's why it's on the Mizbech, and it's more bekovedik not to cut up the whole yerech, and to be makter a cut up yerech on the Mizbech. More bekovedik to take the whole chunk of the animal on top of the Mizbech, and then to cut out the Gid Anoshe, and to burn everything. But a korban shlomim, you burn the chelev on the mizbeach. Why is the flesh that they're going to eat, why is that in the azara? What is it doing in the azara? Korban shlomim is kachem galim. You can eat it anywhere in Yerushalayim. So how come they're discussing in the brisa the Gid Anoshe of shlomim, when you cut it out in the azara, you throw it into the garbage pile, into the amas hamayim? Why are you cooking the shlomim in the azara b'chol? So Rashi thinks that it's a misprint. It shouldn't say Gid Anoshe Shal Shlomim. It should say Gid Anoshe Shal Chatos and Oshem. Because Chatos and Oshem is Kochim Kochim. And Kochim Kochim is only an echel to Zichri Kohuna in the Azora. Even a Baskoin, even a Nashis Koin is not allowed to eat Chatos and Oshem. Only Zichri Kohuna in the Azora. The Kohanim Echlem Abaylam is Kaprim. The eating is like an Avoida. So the eating has to be in the Azora, like Hakrobus Hakobonis in the Azora. So Rashi thinks that it's a misprint in the Brice. Instead of Gid Anoshe Shal Shlamim, it should say Gid Anoshe Shal Chatos V'Osham. That the Kohanim have to eat it in the Azara. So they're broiling it there in the Azara. So you cut it out and you throw it into the Amasama. That's a big discussion. Rishonim asked that question. The din is Ein Yeshiva Ba'Azara. No one's allowed to sit in the Azorah. Even the Kohen Gadol not allowed to sit in the Azorah. Everybody has to stand. Only one who's allowed to sit is the Melech from the Malchus Beis David. That's it. And so what do you mean? You're supposed to eat the Chatas and the Osham L'moshcha L'gudula K'derach Sham Lochem Ochlem, in a very bekovedik way, the way kings would eat a royal banquet. So what kind of royal banquet? No one's allowed. You have to eat it in the Azorah. No one's allowed to sit down. So it's like fast food. You're eating a sandwich, you're standing up the whole time. How is that bekavadik? So the Mishlam Melech quotes, we don't have an entice, Mishlam Melech quotes from the Shittim Kubetzes on the side of the Gemara. He quotes it from Taisus Ksaviyad. That is two opinions. So some Balei HaTaisus said, for the purpose of eating Chatos and Osham, even though the Gemara never said it, it's self understood that it's mutter to sit. Because you have to eat it, the way kings would eat in a royal banquet, it's understood that you're allowed to sit. And other Balei HaTaisus say, no, you have to stand. Rabbi Yosef Engel has several svarim. So one of his svarim is Asvan Deraisa. So on the first siman, the first essay, he says he doesn't see what the problem is. He says that there were lishka, bikiyas. The Azara was a rectangular shape. But then there were rooms that were on the border of the Azara. Let's say this is Gemara de Azara. There would be a room that would be half in the Azara, half out. So what's the din? Does it have the status of Azara or not? So the Mishnayos say it depends where the entrance is. So if the only way to enter the room is from outside of the Azara, from the Harabayis, then the whole lishka, the whole room, has the status of Harabayis. Even the part of the room that's in the rectangular shape does not have the din of the Azara. If the only way to enter is only one entrance from the inside of the Azara, you have to go into the Azara, then walk into the lishka. So the whole room, even the part that's out, has its status like inside the Azara. And if there are two ways to enter, you can enter from Harabayis, you can enter from the Azara. So then, the part that's in Harabayis has Kedushas Harabayis, the lower level, and the part that's inside has Kedushas Azara, the higher level. So Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes a Taisus somewhere, I forgot it anyway. He says, if you have Lishkas Habnuyas Bachol, Upsuchas Lakodesh, you have a room that it's really Bachol, the whole room, either part of it or all of it, outside of the rectangular shape, but the only way to enter the room is from going in the Azara, then there. So it has the din like Hazar, you can eat kachikachim there, but you're allowed to sit there. You're allowed to sit there. So he said, that solves the whole problem. When the Kohanim wanted to eat, the Chatas and the Hashem let him sit down in those rooms. The Lishkas Abnuyas Bachal Psilchas Lakodesh, Taisus proves from the Gemara that it has the din of Hazar Benegeta Achilos Kachikachim, but it doesn't have the din of Ein Yeshiva Bazar. So he said, he doesn't understand what was the whole problem that the Balei Taisus had. There's a simple solution. There's a place where it has the din of Azar ben Aget to Achila, but it doesn't have the din of Azar ben Aget to Issa Yeshiva.
Only the part that's out or the entire part? You have half is in?
No, the part that's out.
Only the part that's out.
The part that's out. Either the whole room is out or half is in, half is out. So the part that's out has a din of Azara only ben Aget to Achila, that you're allowed to eat the kachikachim there, but it doesn't have the din of Ein Yeshiva Bazar. Rashi has an interesting comment. A few times in Shas, Rashi writes that the Ezras Noshim, where the women used to come, never had Kedushas Azor, only had a lower level of Kedushas Harabayis. Why weren't the Chachamim, when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, why didn't they want to be Mekadosh the Ezras Noshim? So Rashi says, because usually the women were either pregnant or nursing, and it's going to be too difficult for them to stand. So they wanted to give the women a break. So they were never Mekadosh any of the Ezras Noshim. It only had a Kedushas Harabayis. So the women were always allowed to sit. But the men had to go into the Azara. The men are never pregnant, they're never nursing. So they're supposed to be gesund gefeilt. They're supposed to be healthy. So they're supposed to stand. If you can't stand, so go sit in the Ezras Noshim. Don't sit in the Azara. Not allowed to sit in the Azara.
Who said this?
Rashi in a few places writes like that. The reason on the Gemara. The reason why the Chachamim the Gemara never says why. Gemara just says the Ezras Noshim had the status of Harabayis. When you go from the Ezras Noshim further to the west, so the next step, there are 15 steps in between the Ezras Noshim and the Azara. So then when you go into the Azara, then you're not allowed to sit. But the Ezras Noshim had a lower level. It was on the bottom of the 15 steps. So there it only had Kedushas Harabayis. That's why the Poskim say, that's why the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, and all the classical Poskim in Europe, they say, all the different parts of the shul that we have today are Mechuvan, correspond to the different parts of the Beis HaMikdash. So since in the Beis HaMikdash, the Ezras Noshim had a lower level of Kedusha than the Azara, so in the shul also we assume the Ezras Noshim has a lower level of Kedusha than the men's section. So what's an afkemina? So they say an afkemina, there's a din malam kodesh or lo meridin. You're not permitted to convert, let's say in Rabbi Fabian Schofeld's shul, when they originally built the shul, so they guessed how many men, how many women would come. Then it turned out that they guessed wrong. They made the men's section too big and the women's section was too little. So after a couple of months, they realized they have to take away part of the men's section and convert it into a women's section. They have to move over the mechitza. So yes, Rabbi Soloveitchik, what's the din? So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, like all the classical poskim say, it's a violation of Malam HaKodesh Olam Meridin. You're not allowed to take part of the men's section and to convert it into a women's section, because the men's section corresponds to the Azor and the Beis HaMikdosh, and the women's section corresponds to the Harabayis, so you're not allowed to lower the level of Kedusha. So what do you do? So Rabbi Soloveitchik told him what the classical poskim say, Lahalocha, they should cordon off those seats in the men's section where they want to convert it into a women's section. They should stop using, the men shouldn't daven there, because in the men's section there was more than enough room. So they should cordon off those seats, and they shouldn't use them for davening there for a couple of weeks. And then when you stop davening there, the Ramban says that the Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses is a Tashmishei Mitzvah. So let's say the Esrig and the Hadassim are hooked in the Mitzvah, the Sukkahs hooked in the Mitzvah, say, on Sukkahs. After Sukkahs is over, the Zman HaMitzvah is up. So the Ramban writes that Beis HaKnesses is hooked in the Mitzvah for davening. There's a big difference. You can't fulfill the Mitzvah of Dalet Minim without Esrig and without the Hadassim. That's indispensable. You can daven without a shul. The Ramban thinks it doesn't matter. Since the shul enhances the davening, so the shul has the status of a tashmishei mitzvah. But let's say they made a shul in the Bronx, and then after years, everybody moved to Brooklyn, everybody moved to Long Island. Nobody lives in the Bronx anymore. So the Ramban thinks that minatora de kedusha disappears, vanishes into thin air on its own, because it's a tashmishei mitzvah. After this mana mitzvah is up, let's say I have a talus. The talus is old, and it's yellow, and it's gray, and it's falling apart. So my wife buys me a new talus. What do you do with the old talus? I donate it to the shul. The gabbai says, no, thank you, he doesn't want it. I wanted to give it to a poor man in the neighborhood. Poor man doesn't want to use it either. He doesn't want to wear it. So the talus is lachas ma mitzvah, and nobody wants to use it. So the din is, you can throw it in the garbage. The talus is only tashmishei mitzvah, it's not tashmishei kedusha. Strictly speaking, you don't even have to. The meaning is, the common practice, take off the tzitzit and put it in the shemus. But strictly speaking, shemus is only for tashmishei kedusha, not for tashmishei mitzvah. So strictly speaking, it says you shouldn't throw it in with the chicken bones and with the fish bones, or with the dirty diapers. You should put it in a separate bag and then throw it in the garbage. Strictly speaking, you can throw it away in the garbage even with the chutei tzitzit. The meaning is, you use the chutei tzitzit for a bookmarker and a chumash or in a gemara they used to do in Europe. Or you put it in the Shemus, but strictly speaking, it's Tashmishei Mitzvah. So the Ramban says that the Shul, the Beis HaKnesses, once everybody moves out of the neighborhood, they're not going to use it anymore. So the Kedusha vanishes into thin air, because it's Lachas Ma Mitzvah. And then the Gemara says you should sell the Shul, and the money that you get, you should use Malam HaKodesh, use it for a Sefer Torah. Use it for something that has a higher level of Kedusha. So that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik told the Rabbi Schoenfeld. They should cordon off the section in the men's section, which they want to convert into the women's section, and the men shouldn't use it for a couple of weeks, 4 or 5 weeks. And then, since they're not using it for davening anyway, so min haTorah, mikra din, the kedusha goes off, so then the board of directors should sell it to someone. Someone should buy it for $10, and then buy it back, and then the shul should buy it back from that person, and designate it as an ezros noshim. So once you appoint it, once they no longer, the men no longer use it, in a right from Kavua, they're not going to use it to daven anymore. That's what they did in Broyers. Broyers always had a women's section upstairs. So some of the women are now in their 80s, so they can't climb upstairs anymore. It's hard for them to climb upstairs. So they took a section of them, they took two sections from the men's section, and the men's section is more than half empty now. Used to be every seat used to be taken there, but now it's very, very empty. So they took two areas in the men's section. They cordoned them off for a couple of months over the summer, I think. They said the men shouldn't daven there. So that's what all the classical poskim say. So the Kedusha goes off in our Torah. So then the board of directors sold it to someone for $10. And then they bought it back from the... So the Kedusha went off and they took the $10, used it for Sifrei Torah, something higher. And then they bought it back from the person and designated it as a women's section. So then you're not in violation of Malam HaKodesh Olam Arvin. That's why Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld did in his shul.
Did you have to... When you roll in a portable mechitza in the back, does
that
count as a
mechitza? Does it count as a malam kedusha? Yeah, we assume so, yeah. Or is it a violation of... what is a violation of malam HaKodesh?
Yes.
I don't know. Temporarily. They did that in all the shuls. But if you want to change it permanently, want to change it permanently to a women's section, then it's an issue of malam HaKodesh. But if you have an overflow crowd of women, you just temporarily have the women, let's say for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, going to have the women daven in a men's section. I think in all the shuls they do that. It's probably not a violation. So the women are davening in the men's section. Okay, and you have a little mechitza, so there's no problem.
So men shouldn't be davening in the women's section. Let's say there's no women's shul. Is there a...
So a lot of times the men who come late, they're embarrassed to daven in the men's section because they came late. So they daven in the women's section. The women's section has a lower level of Kedusha, so that's not right. The women should want to daven in the men's section, because men's section has a higher level of Kedusha. But we don't let them daven in the men's section. So, but the men shouldn't daven in the women's section. If they have an opportunity to daven in the men's section, that has a higher level of Kedusha. That's the pasuk in Yishai Dirsha Hashem Behimotso. What do you mean Behimotso? So the Yerushalmi says, in the location where he's more easily to be found, it goes by Beis HaKnesses. You should daven Beis HaKnesses. So you should daven in the men's section of the shul. You shouldn't daven in the women's section of the shul.
And
then
you count the dominion in the women's from the women's section?
The Mishnah Berurah says, can you count, let's say, five men in the men's section and five men in the women's section? So the Mishnah Berurah says, if the mechitza is attached to the floor and it separates the rooms into two different rooms, then you can't be mitzarf people from two different rooms. But if it's a portable mechitza that's on wheels, it's not attached to the floor, then basically it's the same room. Then you can't be mitzarf people. Well, let's say you have a minyan in the men's section, and the people who come late daven in the women's sections. Okay, so then daven. More correct would be they should daven in the men's section, then daven in the women's section. So one of the men who davens in the women's section wants to say Kaddish. He has to have 10 people in the women's. He has to have 10 men in the women's section to be able to say Kaddish. You can answer on your Heshmer, you can answer Kaddish. If there are 10 men in the shul and you're somewhere, you're outside of the shul, you can answer Kaddish. But you can't say Kaddish unless you have a minion in the location where you are. Let's say a woman wants to say Kaddish. So the Poskim say today, the common practice, many women say Kaddish. The woman has to say Kaddish in the presence of 10 men. So if the woman is in the women's section upstairs or the women's section downstairs, and there's a mechitza that's attached to the floor, she can't say Kaddish. She has to walk into the men's section to be able to. Well, you have to have 10 men in the room. So if you have a mechitza that's not attached to the floor, portable mechitza on wheels, so then the woman can say the Kaddish where she is, and you have the 10 men are in the same room. But if the mechitza is attached to the floor, then you can't. Last summer we had a woman when we were touring in Hungary. There was one woman from Tinek who was saying Kaddish every day, Shachris Mincha Ma'ariv, after one of her parents had passed away. So every day she had to come into the men's section to daven with us. If she wants to say Kaddish, she has to come in. So the rabbi or the kamiya has to decide that they want to allow that. That they want to permit the woman to walk into the men's section in order to recite Kaddish. There was a shul in Washington Heights, Nodi Bihuda, Congregation Nodi Bihuda, Rabbi Rom, Zechon Lebracha, was the rabbi there for a while, and after him his son-in-law, what's his name? Rabbi Sosevsky was the rabbi after him. So the shul originally started off, I think, Nusach Svard. I don't remember. I think originally it was founded one way, Nusach Svard. And now, after many years, the overwhelming majority of the people who come, none of the original founders are there anymore. After many, many years, the overwhelming majority switched, either from Ashkenaz to Svard, or from Svard to Ashkenaz, whatever. So the shaila was, can they change the nusach of the shul? We're always insisting you can't change the nusach of the shul, whatever the minhag hamakom is, but now the whole population changed. So Rabbi Moshe Chaim Sosevsky asked, Rabbi Moshe was still alive at that time. This was a long time ago. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein told them that they should send out a mailing to all the members of the shul. I think he said, if you have 2/3 of the people, why don't you change the nusach, so it's okay, something like that. And somebody said, what's the problem? The Rav said, Rav Soloveitchik said, you sell a shul and you buy it back, and then you can change the women's section to the men's section. So you sell a shul and buy it back, and you can change the nusach svard. That has nothing to do with anything. It's the same minyan. It doesn't help if you sell. Selling the shul, that's as far as the women's section with the men's section. Initial malam hakodesh, but it's the same minyan. So it's not going to help if you sell the shul. Rav Soloveitchik hates it. What he said is not his original answer. That's what all the classical poskim say. Have them not stop davening there, and then they sell that section, then you buy it back. But that only helps on Malam HaKodesh Lo Marin. It doesn't help in again to changing the Nusach HaTfila.
Women were allowed to go, the wives were allowed to go to the
Azara? The Gemara says, the Gemara has a lashon, Isha Bazar Minayin. Whoever heard of a woman being in the Azara? The Mishnah at the end of the second parak in Kedushin talks a man is Mekadosh and Isha, a man is a Kohen, and he has flesh from a Chatas or an Osham, and he's Mekadosh and Isha with the Bsar Chatas V'Osham. So it's a machlekes hatanaim, whether kochi kochi mamam and bailam or kochim kolam kochi kochi mamam and gavoya. If it's mamam and bailam, it can be mekadosh and isha. If it's mamam and gavoya, it can't be mekadosh and isha. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Isha bazar menayin. The women were never in the azara. What kind of a discussion? So the Gemara says, you don't need a woman. A father is mekabel kiddushin for his daughter, who's a young girl. Father can be mekabel or shliach. The woman made a man a shliach. So when the Gemara says the lashon isha bazar menayin, who ever heard of a woman being in the azara? So in that Gemara appears in kiddushin and appears a few other places also. So in that Gemara there's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi says it's prohibited. It's also for a woman to walk into the azar. And Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Where is there an isa? It doesn't say anywhere there's an isa for a woman. Just that it was never considered derech eretz. That the azara in the Beis HaMikdash was miyuchad for the men. There's a snoshim was miyuchad for the women. It's not considered an isa. If there's a big, it was a violation of derech eretz that the women should walk into the azar. Once in a long while, when it was necessary, so Anisha would walk into the Azar. Let's say Anisha is a Saita. So you have to bring her into the Azar. You have no choice. You don't say that there's an Issa and you mata the Issa. It's an Issa of Derech Eretz. So that's what everybody says today. There's nothing wrong with having a woman come into the shul, because Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos disagrees that there's not an Issa, but Tosfos says it's a violation of Derech Eretz, that a woman should walk into the Azar. The Azar is for the men, and the Ezras Nashim is for the women. Yeah. So again, so there's a brisa in the Gemara. The way it's printed in that Gemara, it says Gid Anasha Shoshlamim. They're broiling a korban shlamim in the Azara in order to eat it. Who's going to eat it? The Israelim are going to eat it. Shlamim doesn't have to be eaten by the Kohanim. So when they have to cut out the Gid Anasha because they're not allowed to eat it, so they throw it in the Amas Hamayim. All the junk goes out, and the water will float it out. So Rashi thinks that it's a misprint. It shouldn't say Gid Anasha Shal Shlamim. Who's broiling a shlamim in the Beis Hamikdash? It should say Gid Anasha Shal Chatas V'Yosha.
Why can't you say that just they took the Gid Anasha and put it, they had to give it some chashivus so that they bring it to a special place?
Why should they? It goes in the garbage. You're not allowed to eat it.
No, but you had a special place there, no?
Tapuach.
No, the Amo, no, the Tapuach, that's for the Gid Anashin Shal Oilo. Because the Oilo, you bring the whole thing on. You don't cut out the Gid Anashin before you put it on the Mizbech, you put it on the Mizbech and it becomes the fashion, the whole Yerech together. And then while it's on top of the Mizbech, you cut off the Gid Anashin, so you're on top of the Mizbech, so you throw it into the Tapuach in the middle. But if it's the Gid Anashin Shal Shlamim, you're not cutting it up on top of the Mizbeach, so you're cutting it on the floor. So what are you cutting on the floor? Cut it in Yerushalayim. What's it doing in the Azor? Mm-hmm. So that's why Rashi changed the gears, so it should say, Gid Anasha Shal Chatas V'Yosh. And Tosfos and the other Rishonim say, maybe it means the Kohanim are going to eat the Chaz of the Shoik of the Shlomim. And the Gid Anasha is in the Shok. Gid Anasha, animals have four legs. So the front two legs are called Yadayim, like we also have, but we walk on 2 feet. So the animal, the back 2 feet are called raglaim, and the front 2 feet are called yadayim. So the Gid Anasha is in the shok, that's in the back leg. So the chaz of the shok you give to the Kohanim. So the Kohanim could be, they'll want to eat the chaz of the shok of shlamim in the Azara. They don't have to, they can eat it in Yerushalayim also. But that's what Tosfos said, the Kohanim used to sleep in the dormitory, and the Kohanim that it was their mishmar. They used to sleep in the dormitory. They had bedrooms in the basement of the Beis HaMikdash. They had a staircase, and they went down. So they would be hungry, so they would eat chaz of shok shel shlomim, is from the Matnas Kahuna. So they would probably broil it in the Azar. That's what the Tosfos suggests. Okay. So once the Gemara mentions a word about this tapuach, that in the middle of the Mizbech there was a gigantic heap of ashes, because they had different fires burning around and around. Mizbech was gigantic. And whenever something would be burnt till it turned into ashes, so they threw the ashes in the middle. Once every morning they did Trumas Hadesh, and they took a little bit, put it on the floor. And once every month or so, they would take the whole tapuach full of ashes and take it Chutz L'Sholosh Machna. So the Gemara has Tenan Hossam, there's a Mishnah Maseches Tamid. This is about 15 lines from the top. The last word in the line is tapuach. So it says tapuach, like a gigantic apple full of ashes. Tapuach hoy b'emtza hamizbeach. Sometimes po'amim, sometimes hoy alav, kishlosh me'yaskur. 300 tons of ashes. So the Gemara says, Aguzma, 300 tons of ashes? That's impossible. So that's what the Gemara says. Amarava Guzma, that's the Mishnah is an exaggeration. In the back of the Gemara, the Achrayim quote a Rashbam and Bava Basra, where he says, very often when the Gemara says the number 300, it's always meant as a guzma. It means an awful lot, but it doesn't mean literally 300. So then the Gemara has another Mishnah. It says, also in Tomid, Hishkuas HaTomid, B'koy Shal Zohab. They had a practice, they would give, whenever they would shecht the behemah, they would give it a drink, a lot of water to drink before they would shecht it. Why? So the Gemara says, because of sirchas. What do you mean because of sirchas? So there's a machlokes of Rishonim. So some Rishonim interpret that if the animal drinks water before you shecht it, it'll loosen the sirchas on the lungs, and when there's a sirch on the lung that you can easily peel off, so that's not considered a trefa. A sirch on the lungs, connecting one lobe of the lung to the other, is considered a trefa. Tosfos says al shem ha'osid, because it's so fully nokev, it will cause a nekev, because the animal breathes, so the lobes of the lung are going to get filled up, and they're attached to each other, so they're going to rip apart from each other. So it's going to cause a nekev in the reya. Not that there already is a nekev. Rashi the Gemara makes a statement: "Ein sircha beloy nekev." Whenever there's a sircha, means that there's a nekev. So Rashi learns means that there already was a nekev, and the fluid that went out from the lung through the nekev formed, became solidified, and it turned into a sircha. So according to Rashi, even a sircha that's dangling, a sircha tluya, is also could be a trefa, because it's an indication that there was an ekev, there was already an ekev in the lung. Tosfos disagrees that the sircha doesn't necessarily indicate that already was an ekev. It means sofali nokev. So it's only if the sircha is attached from one lobe of the lung to the other, so the animal's going to inhale, so it's going to breathe in air, so the lobes are going to get all filled up with air, and then they're going to be moving apart from each other, and they're going to rip apart, so it's going to cause a nekev. So it's a trefal shem ha'asid. So some Rishonim interpret when they used to have the practice to feed the animal, to give the animal a drink of water soon before they would be about to shecht it, because this would loosen up. How can it happen so quickly? 5 minutes before the animal is geshechten, so it's going to have an effect already. I don't understand what that means, but that's what some Rishonim say. It'll loosen the sirchas, so it'll be easier to peel off the sirchas, and that says in Shulchan Aruch, a sircha that can easily peel off, that's not a siman that the animal is a treif. Other Rishonim say, no, it's the Gemara talks about sircha, it doesn't mean what we call sirchas on the lungs, and hilchas treifas, means a different thing. It'll be easier to skin the animal. It'll be easier to remove the skin from the flesh. If you're not going to give the animal a drink of water before you shecht it, so a lot of the meat will be lost when you separate the hide from the flesh, so some of the meat will be stuck onto the hide. And if you give it a drink of water, also, how can it happen in 5 minutes? You give the animal water to drink before. So I called upon him, that's what it says in the Mishnah. He used to give Hishkuas HaTomid, Tomash HaShachar, Tomash HaBein HaBayim, every day. They used to give it a drink of water, and the Beis HaMikdash, they did it in the Bekov, they could fashion Bekosho Zohov. They had a golden Becher, and they used to feed. So Rabbi says, a Guzma. But Kebaba Maisel, Koshal Zov, a fancy coast, they're not going to have a golden Becher to give the behemah a drink of water. So Rabbi says that it's an exaggeration. Why did the Chachamim speak with exaggerations? 300 tons of ashes, and a Koshal Zov, why do they speak? Because Amar Abami, Dibra Tara Loshen Havoy, in the Chumash, you have exaggerations. Dibra Nevim Loshen Havoy, you have a Nevim. So Dibra Chachamim Loshen Havoy. So the Chachamim did the same way it says in Torah Nevim. The Tanakh talks in a Loshen of Guzma. So Dibra Chachamim also. So Dibra Chachamim Loshen Havoy, that the rabbis in the Mishnayos have sometimes exaggerations. So the Gemara says, Hodi Amaran. That's what we just quoted the two sources. That there were 300 tons of ashes on the Mizimah. They weren't 300 tons. And that they used to give the behemoths, the karbanis, a drink of water and a golden becher. It wasn't, the rabbi says it wasn't a golden becher. So those sources, we heard the Amar and that we quoted. Where do you see Dibbet Torah Lashon HaBoy? Where do you have a pasuk in Chumash where you have an exaggeration? So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, when we will come to Eretz Yisrael and we will wage war against the nations there, there are cities there that the walls go up till the sky. The walls go up till the sky, come on. No, nobody builds walls around a city. You build a wall high enough that they shouldn't be able to throw stones inside. They shouldn't be able to win the war. Arm Gedolus of Itzuras Bashamai. They have walled cities in Eretz Ayoros, Amakaf, Eskhamosh, and Shur Benun, and the walls go up to the heavens. It's not that. So that's a Lashon Avoy. That's an exaggeration. It's not true. It's not Betzuras Bashamai. Where do you have a Navi? Dibur Nevim Lashon Avoy. So the Gemara quotes from the first chapter in Sefer Melochim. It says, David Amelech, Amelech David Zokin, Baba Yamim, Bechasu, Bab Godim. And then they tell, the Navi tells David Amelech, Adaniyah ben Chagis was appointed Melech, was with your approval. So he says, no, you have to appoint Shlomo Amelech. Shlomo is going to be the Melech. He promised Bathsheba, he's going to see to it that Shlomo, her son, is going to be appointed Melech. So there were so many people participating in the coronation of Shlomo HaMelech. They were clapping and dancing and singing. But Tiboko Horitz L'Koylam, the whole earth was shaking because there was so much racket, there was so much noise when they coronated Shlomo HaMelech. So the Gemara says that's a Lashon Havoy. It didn't happen. The earth didn't quake. It's an exaggeration. But Tiboko Horitz L'Koylam. So just like the Torah and the Nevi'im write exaggerations, so the Tanaim also spoke with exaggerations. So Rabbah was the one who said before, why are they quoting all this? Because they mentioned the word tapuach before. You take the Gid Anoshe from the oilah, you're going to burn the whole oilah on the Mizbeach, so you take the Gid Anoshe from the oilah, and you throw it on top of the tapuach, on top of all the ashes, and after a month or so, you're going to take all the ashes, michutz l'sholosh machnas, chutz yimushalayim, you're going to take it with the Gid Anoshe and leave it over there. So once they mentioned the institution of the tapuach in the middle, so they say that the Mishnah in Tomid that says the tapuach would sometimes have 300 tons of ashes, it's a guzma. So now the Gemara continues on the theme. How many Mishnayos do you have where the Tanoim have a Lashon Guzma? Amar Yitzchak ben Achmeni, Amar Shmuel, B'shloshim mekamos dibur chacham Lashon Havoy. There were three Mishnayos where they used the Lashon Havoy. V'elohem, the following three. One is tapuach, the same. The second one is Geffen, and the third one is Paroiches. But the Hishkuas HaTomid, the Koishal Zohov, he thinks that that's to be taken literally. They really had a golden Becher, and they gave the Korban Tomid a drink of water from the golden Becher, because of the Sirche. He disagrees. Rava said before, it's a Guzma, it wasn't a golden Becher, it looked like it was gold. And Shmuel thinks that it's not true. It was a golden Becher. So he says there were three places in Mishnayis where you have a Lashon Havoy, a Guzma, Elohim. Tapuach, he agrees that it didn't have 300 tons. And the second case is Geffen, and the third is Paroches. What are they? So Tapuach or the Amorim. The Tapuach, that's the mission that we mentioned, that there were 300 tons of ashes. What is Geffen? This not another Mishnah, where is it? Meseches Midos. It's also in Tamid and in Midos. Geffen shall zob hoisa omeres al pisco shall heichal. They made a golden thing that looked like a vine, fancy, man-made. It wasn't a miracle that it grew from the ground. It was man-made. They made it in the shape of a vine. Umudla agabi klunsas, it was suspended in the air like a vine that's growing up. And people would donate a ball of gold, so they would donate the balls of gold that would be in the shape of a grape. And they would hang it on this vine, so they had people from all over the world would donate to the Beis Hamikdash. So the vine was filled up with a lot of golden grapes. Chomishayim Misnadev Gargir, someone donated a little grape. O Eshkol, or a whole cluster of grapes. If he's a multimillionaire, he'll give a whole cluster of golden grapes, so that maybe he would bring it to the Beis Hamikdash. With Tarlabo, they would hang it on that. Amar Ablaz Reb Tzarek Maisa Hayo. Once it happened, v'nimnu aleha shlosh me'as kohanim lefan oiso. They needed 300. The number is 300. They needed 300 kohanim to carry all the stuff. The gold was so heavy, they needed 300. So the number 300 is a guzma, like the Rashbam said in Bava Basra. Whenever it says 300, it's usually a guzma. And what's paroches? Also, Shmuel says that's the third Mishnah, that the loshen of the Mishnah is an exaggeration. Paroches Tisnan, Reb Shimon Gamliel Loimem, Mishum Reb Shimon Hasgan, He quotes, Rav Shimon Gamliel probably lived after the Churban HaBayis, but he heard from Rav Shimon Azgan, who lived in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, Poroches Ov Yotefach, it was a curtain. So how thick was it? It was made from cloth. Ov Yotefach, woo! There was cloth that was so, a tefach, as Rav Moshe holds it, 3.6 inches. Chazanish holds it, it's almost 4 inches. The thickness of the cloth was a tefach. How can it be so thick? So the Mishnah explains, Val Shiva Mishnayim Nirim Ne'ereges, it was woven with 72 threads, and each thread, Val Kol Nima V'Nima Esmer V'Abo Chutim, each thread, we have, the thread that we have is twine. So usually the thread that you sew on clothing is twine. You have two threads that are twined together. Here, they had 72 threads, and each thread was a twine of 24 chutim. So you have 24 times 72. So it's pretty thick. Orka, what was the size of the parochas? Orka arboim ba'amo. It was 40 amas tall, because that was the height of the second base amigdosh. The height was 40 amas. V'roch be'esrim ba'amo. It was 20 amas wide and 40 amas tall. And it was made from such thick threads. Each thread had 24 threads in it, a twine, and then you had 72 of those. Each one had 24. You go multiply. It's very thick, so it became a tefach thick. Umishmoinim ushtei riba. A riba is 10,000. So 82 times 10,000. That was 820,000 riba. 820,000. It was made from 820,000 nasis. What does that mean? What does that mean? So Rashi has over here two pshatim. It was made from 820,000 threads. And the other version, Lishnach Rashi, and the second wide line. Lishnach mean another pshat, not rebo, 882 times 10,000, 820,000. The other gear says revos. A revo is a young girl. So they had 82. Shmoyne Mishtaim Rivos. They had 82 young girls working on it. 82 girls working to make this, to manufacture the parochas. Ushtaim Osem Hashana. Every year they made two parochas. They hang up a parochas for half a year, then the next, like in Broyas. Every Shabbos, every month in Adonishek, there's a different parochas. Amish Chodesh is a different parochas. On Tu B'Shvat is a different parochas. And the Tanya Siba is a different parochas. The Saras Meitshuva is a different parochas. Chanukah and Purim, every day there's another parochas. The Shamas has a full-time job there. It has to change all the mental off in the Sefer Torah. Because they all have to match the parochas. So when it's Sukkot, everything has to be green. Because the Estrig, everything is green. And when it's everything is a different color. So it's mamash, a full-time job to change all the parochas. And apparently that's what they did in Europe. So the Gemara says they used to make shtayim oisem bashana twice a year. They would make a parochas that it would last for half a year, they would make another parochas. And once in a while the parochas became tamei, so they needed 300 kohanim to carry this heavy parochas, which was 40 amas tall and 20 amas wide and a tefach thick. They needed 300, so the magic number 300 is obviously a guzma. So that's the third mission of a guzma. They needed 300 kohanim to schlep the parochas to take it to the mikveh in order to be tayvah.
If I remember correctly, there's a gra on this. There's a gra who said, it's b'chuv and ha'shpidiyah, it is 300. I don't remember what it goes. The person stays this big, takes this number, and you need 300. Uh-huh. I can't remember the gra, though.
Yeah, in the back, they tell you where the b'ra gra is. Yeah. But the Gemara says that it's a guzma. The Babli says it's a guzma. The Gondagon says there's another marker that it's not a guzma. The Babli said that it's a guzma. See, here there's a famous Tesis. Tesis wants to know, why is the parochas mekabel tuma? Meicha Tesis, why should the parochas? There are only four things that are mekabel tuma. Adam, Mekele, Mochel, Mamashkin. So, is it a kli? Why is it a kli? A parochas stands there. It's like a building. It's part of the building. So Tesis starts off, the Tesis, Shlosh Meskan. They quote the Gemara, the last daf in the first parak. So, parak hamad debate. So, the Gemara says, the girsa that we have, mipneima omru, vilain tome. Why are curtains, if you have cloth curtains, why are cloth curtains mekabel tuma? Why is it a kli? a kli is a cup is a kli. There's a paper cup, so it's a kli eitz. A kli eitz is makabel tuma. Fine. A kli matech is makabel tuma. But this is cloth, but it's not a kli. Well, what do you use it for? So the Gemara asked, Mipnema arma vilantam. Why is the halacha say that curtains are makabel tuma? Mnei shashamesh mischamem kinegda. Sometimes someone will be chilly. Shamesh doesn't have a sweater. So in the middle, he's busy, he doesn't have time to go get a sweater. He's in the middle of serving all the people. So he'll be chilly. So he'll... Yeah. Sometimes someone will be chilly and he doesn't have a sweater, so he'll go wrap himself with the curtain. So a curtain is considered a kli because once in a while someone will wrap themselves in it. So it's like a beggar, and beggar is a kli. For Taisus, that's good if you have a curtain in your private home. But a curtain based on Migdash is hegdash, so you're not allowed, it'll be me'ila behegdash, you're not allowed to wrap yourself. So the curtain and the based on Migdash should not be mekabel tumah. The only reason why a normal curtain in a private home is mekabel tumah because sometimes someone will wrap himself in it to keep warm. But in the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to. V'hai pareches leka lamechus shizcham kenegdo. Also, lehonis mimenu. It's an iser of me'ila behegdash. V'amai tovel in ma'isa. Why do you have to be tovel? It's not mekabel tuma. It's not a kli. That's Tosis Kasha. So Tosis in the very end says, the last five lines in Tosis, mi'u, the very end, yes svarim de garsa per kamada beitza. Other Rishonim have a different gears than that. Not mipnei ma vilain tamei. Why is the curtain mekabel tumah? Mipnei ma vilain osur. Why is it forbidden to make a curtain of shatnas? There's no shatnas, not osur, but no. Shatnas, you're not allowed to wear. Beggar climb shatnas, layala, lacha, la silba shatnas. There's an isa levisha, there's an isa ha'aloh. Levisha is if I'm going to wear clothing here. If the clothing have shatnas, that's levisha. And let's say I'm going to use a blanket that's made from shatnas. It's not levisha, but that's ha'aloh. I sit in Baba's chair, so they put cloth on top of me so the hair shouldn't get on my clothing. So if the cloth is shatnas, that's an isa of ha'aloh. So there's an isa levisha and there's an isa ha'aloh. But a curtain, there's no levisha, there's no ha'aloh. So why does the din say you're not allowed to make a curtain if nemavila and also shatnas? So the answer is because once in a while people will be mischamim kenegdai, so therefore it'll be an iser of, it won't be levisha, but it'll be ha'aloh. So therefore you should be careful not to make the curtains all shatnas.
So, there's some place to worry about Roshul Amharitz on the Perchus.
Uh-huh. I mean it's mekabel tuma.
Yeah, while we're making it, or maybe one river for the Nida.
Yeah, that's what Tosis quotes from Chagiga. About 10 lines into the text, they quote Chagig Daf Chav Gimel. So the Gemara says, whenever they made kelim for the Beis HaMikdash, they would always be toivel them, because maybe it became tamei while they were in the process of manufacturing it. So the text says also, you can't say that why was the perech? The perech should be mekabel tuma. It's not intended to be, that din shouldn't apply here. Other kelim, a kli is mekabel tuma, but the perech shouldn't be a kli. So the last five lines in the text, they say it's not true. Pareches is cloth, and all cloth is considered a kli. If you have, let's say you go to a store and they have a roll of cloth. I want to buy 3 feet. He wants to buy 10 feet of cloth. So the cloth as it is, mekabel tumah, is considered a kli, even if nobody plans to use it at all. So the last five lines in Tosis hold that the other gears is incorrect. Why is a cloth mekabel tumah? All cloth is a kli, period. Every piece of cloth is a kli, unless you make it into a shmata and you throw it out, then it's always kli. But all cloth is a kli. So they changed the girsa, not b'mpneimad vilon, mekabel tumah. Vilon is cloth, and cloth is a beged, and beged is a kli.
What about sitting on shatnas?
The Gemara says min hatoretz mutar to sit on shatnas, but min the rabbanon they prohibited because we're afraid when it may not be so attached to the bottom, and it may curl up on top of your legs. So that's a gzeirah mid rabbanan. In Europe, sometimes when you would go on the trains, so the seats would be covered with cloth, and sometimes the cloth would be shatnas. So tzaddikim would be...
Stipele,
yeah. He went to meet the girl the first time he took out the Chazon Ish's sister. and he fell asleep on the date. So she didn't want to marry him. The guy's not meshugane, he fell asleep on the date. So what happened was he had to travel by train a long distance, and he was afraid that the cover, the chesaipla was always machmer and everything, all chaloimus, chumris. So he was chayshish that maybe the cloth covering on the seat in the train had shatnez in it. He did not let it sit, so he was standing for a few hours on the train. And then he fell asleep on the date. So the Chazanish, the sister didn't want to marry him. So the Chazanish said, it's a good shidduch. So he pressured his sister to marry him. Chazanish had a very big family, I think 12 or 14 brothers and sisters. They were all Talmid Chachamim, and all the sisters married Talmid Chachamim. That was unusual. The father was also a Rav. The father was a Talmid Chachamim. But the disciple who was known, he was always machmer and everything.
He also been learning so here, several hours ago, I think he was learning straight for several hours before he got on the train, I think.
Oh, I'm sure. So yeah, they told me that in America, if you order a pareches for your shul, unless you give them instructions otherwise, 95% of the time they will sell you, they will make a pareches with shatnez in it. That used to be the minig in Europe. That they used to make a pareches with shatnez in it, zechel amigdosh, because the pareches in the Beis Hamikdash used to have shatnez. Because the whole reason why you're not allowed to put shatnez in a vilon, in a curtain, is because hashamish mischamim kenegdo, someone's going to wrap themselves in it. But today, that nobody wraps themselves, but in the Beis Hamikdash, that you're not allowed to wrap yourself in the pareches, so they didn't require that it had to be shatnez. There was no reason to make shatnez. So they made that practice. Zechel HaMikdash, they used to put in 95% of the parochas, and if you don't give them instructions one way or the other, they will put in parochas. They will put in shatnez. So this is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, that strictly speaking, the Gemara says that parochas in front of the Aron Kodesh has the status of Tashmishi Kedushin. So the Gemara Megillah says, why? Let's say you have a tefillin zechel. So the tefillin is gufei kedusha, and the cloth tefillin zekel is tashmishi kedusha. What about the plastic cover on top of the cloth baggage? So that's twice removed. So that's tashmish to tashmish. So it's twice removed. Let's say the plastic cover tears, it gets a hole. So that you don't have to put the plastic cover in the shemus. You throw it in the garbage because tashmish to tashmish is twice removed from the tefillin. That's not a problem. So the Gemara asks, the Sefer Torah sits in the Aron Kodesh. So the Aron Kodesh is Tashmishi Kedusha. The Pareches beautifies the Aron Kodesh, which itself is Meshamesh, the Sefer Torah. So the Pareches should be a Tashmish to Tashmish. Should we twice remove from the Sefer Torah? So why do you state that Pareches has the status of Tashmishi Kedusha? So the Gemara answers, because Bizman HaGemara, the practice would be, they didn't have a mapa on the shulchan. We have all year long, we have a mapa, a blue mapa on the shulchan. So when we lay in Kriyas HaTorah, we take the Sefer Torah, put it on the shulchan. In the days of the Gemara, they didn't have a mapa. So they would. It was a standard practice. So today, what do you do if there's no mapa on the shulchan? So if someone takes a talis, they put. So the talis becomes a tashmishi kedusha. The answer is no, you did it. You didn't designate it kavua. It's only aroi. Let's say I don't have a tefillin zekel. So I put my tefillin in a paper bag. So the paper bag becomes Tashmishi Kedusha. No, I didn't designate it as such. So the talis wasn't designated. But Bizman HaGemara, this was kavua, this was a standard practice. They would take down the parochas from the Aron Kodesh and put it on the shulchan in order to put the Sefer Torah on top of it. But even kavua like that. So Bizman HaGemara, the parochas had the status of Tashmishi Kedusha because it would be put directly, they will put the Sefer Torah directly on top of it. So the Pareches in the days of the Gemara, in the early days of the Shulchan Aruch, they're quoting all the Gemara, so the Pareches was Tashmishi Kedusha. So if someone is chilly, you wouldn't be allowed Tashmishi Kedusha, you're not allowed to use it for your own purposes. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you're permitted to make a Pareches from Shatnez. But then the Mefarshim say that Bizman HaZeh, nobody does that. When there's no mapa on the shulchan, nobody's right mind takes down the pareches. It doesn't come down so easily. You're going to put a talus there temporarily. So the pareches today is tashmish to tashmish. It's twice removed from the Sefer Torah. The Aron Kodesh holds the Sefer Torah, and the pareches beautifies the Aron Kodesh. So strictly speaking, the pareches does not have the status of tashmish kedusha. That's where the minig was in Europe and many places. They used the pareches as a chuppah. Many of the old pareches, and they had four rings in the four corners, because where they have the four metal rings, to hold the four poles in place, to use it as a chuppah. I can use it as a chuppah. It's tashmishi kedusha. The answer is no. Bizman is that nobody ever uses it to put it on the shulchan. So it's not tashmishi kedusha. So that's what the Mefarshim write on the side of the page in Yerudeh, that Bizman Hazeh, it's not proper to make shatnas in a pareches. It's when a shul orders a pareches, they should really give them instructions, bedavka, not to make it from shatnas, because Bizman Hazeh, the heta doesn't apply.
If you put a plastic over the map on the shulchan, then the map has no kedusha either.
It could also be. It's really the plastic is a tashmishi kedusha. So if the plastic gets a hole, you got to put the plastic on the shemis. Okay. A lot of people, when they wrap up, they put a mezuzah in a mezuzah container, so they wrap it up in cellophane paper, or they wrap it up in tinfoil. So if the tinfoil gets worn out, you can't throw it out in the garbage. You have to put the tinfoil in the shemis. You have to put the cellophane paper in the shemis. Because that's the tashmishi kedusha. Yeah. So that's what the Gemara says. In Tanakh you have a Loshen Guzma, so the Chachamim also spoke Loshen Guzma. There's nothing wrong with it. And it's a Machloikish Shmuel and Rove, whether the Koshel Zohav is to be taken literally. Shmuel says it literal. They used to have a golden Becher to feed, to give the Karbonis, Tomid, to give the Karbonis the drink of water.
Before the Shechter.
Because of the Sircha, whatever that means. And Shmuel says, no, it is literal. They had a golden Becher. It's not a guzma.
Because it's a carbon. The carbon is kedusha, no?
That what?
Because they brought the carbon, that's kedusha. So
the carbon had kedusha,
So you give it to Rosh
Hashanah. Out of covet for the carbon. So the Shmuel says they really did have a golden becher. And Rav says it doesn't look like gold, but it's just a melita. It's not really so. Okay.
Still wearing a case usually. Film have a box around them and
before you... The cardboard box is Tashmishi Kedusha. But the Ritzuas are also Gufi Kedusha. The Ritzuas are on the outside of the box.
Are not Tashmishi.
The Gemara calls the Ritzuas, it's both Gufi Kedusha and Tashmishi Kedusha. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has in his Sefer on the Rambam, he explains, there's Kedusha's Parshios and there's Kedusha's Trillin. So Trillin Al Pidin has three parts. You have Parshios, Batim, and Ritzuas. So you need all three. So if you have the cardboard boxes or the plastic boxes covering, protecting the bias, but then you have the ritzuos on the outside. So the ritzuos are gufe kedusha mitam kedushas tefillin. So when you put the batim in the cardboard boxes or in the plastic boxes in a tefillin zekel, so the tefillin zekel is directly mishamish tashmishi kedusha, the ritzuos. So that's the ritzuos are gufe kedusha and the zekel is tashmishi kedusha. The ritzuos are also Tashmishi Kedusha, because vis-a-vis the Kedusha's Parshios. The Parshios alone do not constitute tefillin. They need Parshios, Batim, and Ritzuas. But the Parshios are Parshios from a Sefer Torah. So the Parshios have Kedusha. So the Ritzuas are Mishamish, the Parshios. So it's Tashmishi Kedusha because of that. You have to go to Chumrah in both directions. Whenever something has a Chumrah, because it's Tashmishi Kedusha, so you have to treat the Ritzuas as Tashmishi Kedusha. Because they're Mishamish, they're Parshios. Whenever something has a chumrah because it's gufi kedusha, so you have to consider the ritzuah as gufi kedusha.
So the batim itself would also be tashmishi kedusha of the parshis.
The batim and the ritzuah is are tashmishi kedusha mitzad the parshis, because they're mishamish the parshis.
What's the chumrah of tashmishi kedusha over kedusha?
What chumrah could there possibly be? Gufi kedusha should have more chashivas than tashmishi kedusha. So there's a balamor in Sukkah and Daftesam and Aleph, there's a Balamon that's a tongue twister, that they all ask, it doesn't read straight. The paragraph doesn't read straight. So they explain, it doesn't read straight because we have a bug in our head. We start off with the premise, the Ramor in Shulchan Aruch quotes an opinion from Rabacha. One of the Goyen, in the days of, not Rabacha, a Goyen, from the Shulta, some Goyen by the name of Rabacha. So he writes that Gufi Kedusha is more chomer then Tashmishi Kedush Minigeta Hazmana. If you designate, let's say somebody died, and you go to the store and you buy Tachrichim, but you didn't put the Tachrichim on the mace yet. Or I have a pair of tefillin, I go to the store, I buy myself a fancy tefillin zekel. I didn't put the tefillin in the tefillin zekel yet. So that's a machlekes habai v'rabba, where they say Hazmana Milsi, Hazmana La Milsi. It's already osa b'ano as Misham Shehameis, or Tashmish Kedusha when I designated it, or no, you have to have Azmanei Vitzarbe. You have to designate it and put the mace in the Begodim and put the tefillin into the tefillin zekel. So we paskan Hazman Alam Milsi. So the Rav Ache quoted in the Shulchan Aruch says, when do you say Hazman Alam Milsi? That's only on Tashmishin. On Mishamshi Ameis, or on Tashmishi Kedusha. But if you designate something as klaf to write, say, if you Torah Tefillin Mezuzah, and that's Gufi Kedusha, so there you say Hazmana Milsehi. That's what the Ramah quotes from the Rav Ache. If you read the Balamor slowly and carefully, he holds just the opposite, and then Itziv explains why. Let's say, I'm healthy, but I know I'm going to die, so you should say, everyone is Hazmana Milsehi. Everyone is Oymed Lamus, so everybody's ready also about no. No. The mace, the Gufa mace, is only Osmano when he dies. Even if he's a Geisa, he's not Osmano yet till he actually dies. The Mishamshe mace are Osmano. So that's the question. When is it labeled as Mishamshe? When you designate it to be Mishamish, or when it's Mishamish Bepoel Mamish, when it actually is Mishamish? Let's say, Tfilin Ad Gufik Dusha. Beis Hamikdash is Gufik Dusha. So the Gemara, the Netziv quotes the Gemara in Bava Metzia, that when they were building the Beis HaMikdash, the builders would be climbing, sitting on the bricks and eating their sandwiches and so on. How can they sit on the bricks? If you're old like Abayi, Hazmana Milsehi, this is going to be the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. So the answer is, on the Guf HaKdusha, Kozman, you weren't Magdashit, there's no Kedusha. On Mishamshe, you can say it's already Mishamshe, Al Shem HaAsid. If you already have a pair of tefillin, you go to the store, buy a tefillin zekel, and you plan to put your tefillin in the tefillin zekel, even if you didn't put it in yet, so by holds it's already called Mishamshi Tashmishi Kedusha, because it's Oymid L'Shamish, and we pass like Rabbi, no, it's not called Mishamshi until it's Mishamish B'Poel Mamish. Actually, Azmanei Vitzorbe, if I actually put the tefillin in. It's only called Tachrichem of the Mace, Mishamshi Ameis, when I dress up the mace with it. And by holds, no. The guy died already. If he didn't die yet, it's not called Misham Shem Meis. If he died already, and you bought the Tachrichim, and you plan to put it on the Meis, Abai holds it's already called Misham Shem Meis. So the Netziv argues this variation was right. Kivega holds like that, and the Balamor holds like that. And the Gufi Kedusha, nobody holds Hazmana Milsehi. Everybody's Ahmed Lomos, everybody's also Bano. I'm building a building, and when I finish, I'm going to designate it as the Beis HaMikdash. Because man, I didn't finish, it's only Hazmana. So Hazmana on the Guf HaKdusha, you say Hazmana La Milsehi. So that's what the Balamor says. We treat the Ritzuas and the Batim both as Guf HaKdusha and as Tashmish HaKdusha. We treat it as Guf HaKdusha, so the Tefillin Zekel is not a twice removed from the Tefillin. No, it's Mishamish the Ritzuas directly. The Ritzuas are exposed. So I don't treat the Tefillin Zekel as the Tashmish. But I say that the mitzvahs of the tefillin are also mishamshe kedusha. So therefore, according to Abaye, there's room to say hazmana milsehi. Abaye would never say it on the gufik kedusha. You never say. No one would ever say hazmana milsehi on the gufik kedusha. Only on the mishamshe kedusha. So that's where Rav Chaim points out that they say if you have to treat the mitzvahs lechumra both as tashmishi kedusha and as gufik kedusha, whichever will bring the more chumra. Whichever brings the more chumra, yeah. Because it's both correct. As the Torah's tefillin, it's gufi kedusha, because tefillin needs all three parts. You need the batim and the ritzuas and the parshios. And the Torah's the parshios, it's mishamshe kedusha. The ritzuas and the batim are mishamish, the parshios. It's both. So the ritzuas are both gufi kedusha and tashmishi kedusha.
The parshios themselves are also gufi kedusha,
don't you? Yeah, the parshios are gufi.
So the ritzuas are similar to the same
Gufi
Kedusha as
Parshas
itself?
It's Gufi Kedusha Bitoris Kedusha's Tfilin. Because all three are Ma'akev. You need Parshas, Batim, and Ritzuas. So Bitoris Kedusha's Tfilin, all three are Gufi Kedusha. But Bitoris Kedusha's Parshios, Kedusha's Parshios like Kedusha's Sefer Torah, so there the Batim and the Ritzuas are Mishamshe. So the Batim and the Ritzuas have a double status. It's Gufi Kedusha Bitoris Kedusha's Tfilin, and Mishamshe Kedusha Bitoris Kedusha's Parshios. So whatever comes out l'chumra, you have to be machmer. What time is it now?
Quarter after 9.
I forgot to bring my watch. Okay. The next line in the Gemara is very, it's a whole discussion, fascinating discussion. So the Mishnah said, the Gemara quotes a caption from the Mishnah, B'yerech shal yimin and b'yerech shal shmal. It's the left, the right leg and the left leg. The front legs, there's no gidanoshe, that's hands, that's yadayim. And the back legs are raglayim, so the yerech is the two back legs, both b'yimin and b'shmal, there's a din of gidanoshe. And the Mishnah, Masisin the loike Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda the Tanya. His opinion is recorded in the Tosefta. Rabbi Yehuda, ain't like alabachas. Din of gidanoshe only applies in one of the two legs, not on both of them. Badas machras, and the Svara dictates, it should be eshel yamin. It should be the right leg. The gidanoshe probably only applies to the right leg, not to the left leg. So we don't pass like him, we pass like the Mishnah. It applies both to the right leg and to the left leg. So Gemara is not sure what did Rabbi Yehuda mean by Hadas Machras Iboiluhu. They're not sure, we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda anyway, but they want to know what's Pshat in Rabbi Yehuda. Iboiluhu. Is it Mishnah Pshita Leila Rabbi Yehuda? Is he positive about that it's only the right leg? Umay Das, and what does mean Hadas Machras Das Torah? In modern language today, they call Das Torah means when a rabbi gives an opinion that's not based on Talmudic sources, his das Torah, his understanding based on everything that he knows, he understands. In Talmudic language, das Torah means that there's a source in the source in the Chumash. That the other one, my sechel dictate, that's called das Noita. Today they call it the reverse. They call das Torah means something that there's no source in Allah. So the Gemara is not sure. Iboilu, they're not sure. Is it Mifshit Pshita Leder Abiyuda? He's positive that it's only the right leg. And when he says Adas Macharas, my Das, what did he mean? Das Torah has a source in Chumash to prove that it's only the right leg. Or Dilma, perhaps a book in Masafkale. And he thinks maybe it makes more sense to say Shalimin, but he's not positive. Or my Das, Das Noita? He just meant as Hasvara, maybe it should be the right leg, but he's not convinced. The Gemara says, what did Abiyuda mean? Toshma. So they're going to prove what the din is. So they quote from a Tosefta. When you eat korbanos, let's say you eat the korban Pesach. So you don't eat everything. You eat the flesh. You don't eat the bones. Etzem l'sishbur abo. Even if there's marrow inside the bones, you're not allowed to break the bone. You're not allowed to chew the bones in order to get the marrow, because there's a lav. Etzem l'sishbur abo. So you have to leave over something. You can't eat everything on Pesach night. So whatever's left over till the morning becomes noisar. And there's a mitzvah to burn noisar, but you can't burn the noisar on Pesach. It's yontif. It's an isa havara. You're allowed to burn logs in order to keep warm. You're permitted to burn logs in order to cook food, but just to burn the noisar to fulfill the mitzvah, that you're not allowed to do. So you burn the noisar on the first day chalamoid. First day chalamoid in Beis Hamikdash is only one day yontif, the 15th. We have 2 days yontif, so the first day chalamoid is the 17th. But in Eretz Yisrael, there's only one day Yantab, the 15th, so the first day Chalamot is the 16th, and you don't burn Nosa Balayli, you don't burn Nosa in the daytime. There are certain mitzvahs that only apply in the daytime, certain mitzvahs only apply in the nighttime. So Sreifas Nosa is only in the daytime. So that's what it says, V'hatzomas v'hagidim v'hanosa of the Korban Pesach, the Hatzomas and the Gidim, and whatever they left over Nosa, you saw from the Shishor, so you burn it the morning of the first day Chalamot Pesach. Sure. That's a Tosefta. They have the Nabomi, I'm gefrekt Akasha, Havaya is Akasha. We asked Akasha on the Brisa, Hani Gidi, Maya Avid Tayu. What does it mean in the Brisa? That the Gidim that were left over from the Korban Pesach, they should burn on Chalamoid. What kind of Gidim are there? Sometimes you have a piece of flesh, and not all of it is flesh. Sometimes there's like a Gid in the middle, but it's edible. So, Igid Ebosar. If it's the gid in the middle of a big piece of flesh, lechlinu. Why didn't he eat it? Why did he leave it over until the next morning? Eat the iyater, and if he didn't eat it, he left. It was edible, and he didn't want to eat it. He's a mafunik. He doesn't want to eat the hard part. It doesn't taste like normal flesh. Eat the iyater. His leftovers hain anoyser. So it says in the barisa hatzomus vagidin vahanoyser. Whatever is noyser, noyser means the flesh of the korban that you had a mitzvah to eat it. And you didn't eat it, and you left it over after this man. Kachim kachim, this man is Korban Pesach. This man is only till the morning, till Alos Hashachar of Pesach morning. Kachim kalim yuzi shlamim mishnei yamim v'layla echad. Doesn't become nicer till you bring a korban on Tuesday, so you can eat it shlamim Tuesday night, and Wednesday till Shkia. Then after Shkia, then it becomes Noisim. Then it's a Machlokes. And as El Mekam, it's a Machlokes, Chizkiya Rabbeinu does become Noisim right away at Shkia on Wednesday night, or no, Wednesday night you're not allowed to eat it, but it doesn't become Noisim until Thursday morning. Because basically, in Kotchim, Halayla Halach Achra Yoim, and the Zman of Shlamim is really Shnei Yomim. That's what Chizkiya, we don't pass like that, but there was one opinion like that, that the Zman of the Shlamim basically is Shnei Yomim. And in Yomim in Karbonis is Halayla Halach Achra Yoim. In Chulin is Hayom Halach Achra Halayla. Every Shabbos, every Yontif, Chanukah, Purim, every Yontif begins at night and it goes from sundown to sundown. Because it says, Vahiyera, Vahiyera, so Hayom Halach Achra Halayla. Every day begins, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, every day of the week begins at sundown and it goes till tomorrow sundown. And Karbonis is not so. Beis HaMikdash is not so. It's Hayom Halach Achra Halayla. The days begin at night. And the day follows. The day begins in the morning and the night follows the day. So there's one opinion there. We don't talk like one opinion that when you bring a shlamim, this man basically is bring a shlamim on Tuesday morning, the Tuesday, Tuesday night, Wednesday, Wednesday night, and it only becomes nice on Thursday morning. But you can't eat it tomorrow night. The Zman of Achilas HaKorban is only Shnei Yamim V'Layla Echad. But it doesn't become nicer till it comes Thursday morning. Nafkamina. What if you eat it on Wednesday night? Are you Chayv Koris? You're only Chayv Koris if you eat nicer. If you eat a Korban Shalor Bizmana, you're not Chayv Koris. So one opinion is, well, we don't pass like that. We pass and it does become nicer tomorrow night. Wednesday night, it's already nicer and there's already Koris. So that's a Machlaikas then. So here it says the mitzvah to burn nicer is only if you had flesh that there was a mitzvah to eat it and you didn't eat it, then there's a mitzvah to burn it. So what kind of gidden are we talking? If you're talking the gidden and the basar, it's edible. So he should have eaten it. Elamahi, I'm a funik, he doesn't want to eat it, so it's nicer. So they already says in the braisa he burned the nicer. So why does it say separately Hagidden Vahanoisa? We're talking the gidim anoisa. Idi yater, and if he left it over till all night long, he didn't eat the Korban Pesach till the morning. Hayna noisa, ela must be gidei tzavar. Must be that they're gidden in the neck that is simply not edible. Not that the mufunokim don't want to eat it. No one, it's not roi lachila. So Frank the Gemara, if the gidim in the neck are so tough they're just not edible, no one eats it. Hila basaninu, if it's not roi lachila, lishdinu, so throw it in the garbage. You don't have to burn it. The mitzvah to burn noisa is only that part of the carbon that there was a mitzvah to eat it because it's edible and you didn't fulfill the mitzvah, you left it over, it became nicer, then it's a mitzvah to burn it. But if it's gidei hatzavar, lav the basan din, it's not edible, lishdinu, so throw it in the garbage, why is there a mitzvah to burn it? What's pshat over here? That the gidim, you have to burn the gidim. If it's gidim that are edible, so it's nicer, so it says nicer. It must be gidim that are not edible. So not edible, there's no mitzvah to eat it, so there's no mitzvah to burn the nicer. So what's going on? So we have different suggestions. V'amar apchizde, pshat is hazoi, la nitzvich ela, the pshat and the brice is agid anoshe. Alibi the Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is mesupik, is it the right leg over the left leg? And he never came to a hachra. He says, I think it's probably the right leg, but he wasn't positive. It's really sepukim mesafka leg. So he can't eat either leg, but one of them should have been eaten. And the gidan nasha is edible. Gidan nasha is edible, but you're not allowed to eat it. But only one of them is osa. So one of them, you can't eat either because Rabbi Yehuda is not sure which one is osa. But one of them that you left over, you're supposed to, what was roi lachila? You should have eaten it, but you don't know which one was roi lachila. So misafik, you have to burn both. Misafik, you can't eat either, because you don't know which one is the one that's osa bachila. And misafik, you have to burn both, because maybe this is the one that was roi lachila. Maybe the right one is mutter, maybe the left one is mutter. The one that's really mutter, you should have eaten, and if you didn't eat it, then you have a mitzvah that's to burn it. So he says the Sefte, Rav Chizda says, La nitzach ela, the brice of Pshat and the brice is the Giranosh Alibi Rav Yehuda. And he's not sure which one. So the Gemara says they finished their right. If Rav Yehuda is not sure whether the right leg or the left leg, so Shaper, so we understand the Tosefta. You can't eat either Giranosh, the right leg or the left leg, Misafik, and not sure which one. But you can't eat either, but then you have to burn both of them. The one that you really weren't allowed to eat, you really don't have to burn. But one of them you could have eaten, but you're not sure which is the one that you were allowed to eat. So in Misafik, you have to burn both. But if Rabbi Yehuda meant to say, he has a Das Torah, he has a Rai from a Pasuk, that only the right one is asa, the left one is mutter. So the right one is asur, so you throw it in the garbage. There was never a mitzvah to eat it. And the left one you should have eaten. And if you didn't eat it, it's noisa. The giranosha from the left leg you should have eaten. And the surah lishadye. And the one that's straight, throw in the garbage. Why should you have to bother to burn it? So it's a raya, the rebuta supukim esavkale. The way Rav Chisda interpreted that tosefta, that you have to burn the gidden, you have to burn both gidden. The right leg and the left leg, it's Aliv the Rabbuda, Misafi, you have to burn. Then the Gemara says, Amra Vika Bar Chanina, not necessarily the correct pshat in the Tosefta. The Alamei Malach Mishab Shitale. One can argue the point and say it's not true. Rabbuda was never Mesupik, he holds it's only the right leg. Aye, but it says in the Tosefta, you burn the Gidim. Why are you burning the Gidim? If it's the trefa gid, throw it in the garbage. It's a kosher gid, you should have eaten it. If you didn't eat it, then it's nicer. So he says, maybe hachma askinon, maybe the pshat is like this. We cut out the gid anasha, the trefa one, from the right leg. And that we're going to throw in the garbage. Then, not everybody enjoys eating the gid from the left leg. The children don't like it, because it's too hard. The parents will eat it. So they said, cut out the gid anasha from the left leg, and the father says, I'll eat it. And then they mixed up the right leg with the left leg. So yeah, you can't tell which is the trefa gid anasha, which is the kosher one. So safik the rice and lechumis, you can't eat. It's a taruvus of chad b'chad. Mm-hmm. The kosher gid anasha from the left leg got mixed up with the trefa gid anasha from the right leg. Hocham askin and zakta, maybe the pshat and the tosefta is kishuhukru. Originally I recognized which is the right leg, which is the left leg, with the softness arvu. And I mixed them up because the children didn't want to eat the gid anasha from the left leg. It's too hard for them. So the father said, give it to me, I'll eat it. He doesn't want to leave it over noisa. And then you mixed up the right leg with the left leg, so you can't eat either safik the rice or the chumr. And then when it comes to burning it, you have to go the chumr. You have to burn both. Maybe this is the one from the left leg. There was roi lachila, and mainly you have to burn it. Or Rav Ashi gives another answer. They say, Rav Chisda's pshat is not mukhrach. The din is only the actual gid anosha. In our Torah, only the gid anosha is asa. The fat on top of the gid anosha, that's only a chumra mitam minik. The tanya shumno, the shuman agid, the fat on top, mutter, min our Torah, it's mutter. We swell kiddushim, the holy Jewish people, noga bawisa, it's a minik. It's not even a din derabbanan. That's what the Prima Gaudim points out. Rashi sounds also, it's only a minig not to eat it. It's a minig not to eat it. So the Shuman Agid, Minatori, you can't, you're mechuyiv to eat it. It's a carbon passing, mechuyiv to eat it. It's not chaylev. Shuman Agid, Minatori, you're mechuyiv to eat it, but the minig is that you don't eat it. So they leave it over, you don't eat it, but then you have to burn it the next morning. On Chalamot, you have to burn it because Minatori, you were mechuyiv to eat it. So that's what it means. It says you burn the Gid, it doesn't mean the Gid. You burn the Shuman Agid, which Minatari is supposed to eat. Avin Omar, Avinu gives another answer. Also similar to that. Thank you. Avin Omar, L'nitzachal l'kid Rav Yudah Mashmul, Dam Rav Yudah Mashmul, there are two gidden. There's a gid anoshe, the real gid anoshe, goes the whole length of the leg. The pnimi and the chitzen. So the pnimi asamach le'etzim, the inner, the gid anoshe, that's closer to the bone, that's also Minatari, b'chayav mol of malchus, if you eat it, you get malchus, because that's an isa deraisa. The chitzon doesn't go, the outer gid anoshin doesn't go the whole length of the leg. That's samach lebasa, it's towards the outside of the leg. Osir midirabbanan vein chayom mava, but if you eat it, you don't get malchus. So the outer gid anoshin, it's not so tasty, not so tasty. But menatoyre, it's muta bachila, so you are mechuyev to eat it. But midirabbanan they asked it, so you can't eat it midirabbanan. But since Menatari you mukhayif to eat it, say when you leave it over, we say it does become nicer and you have to burn it. The mitzvah to burn nicer is only if it's such a flesh of the carbon that there was a mitzvah to eat it and you didn't fulfill a mitzvah. But if there never was, if it's the trefa gid anoshe, then there wasn't roi lachila, so then there's no mitzvah to burn. So the gid achitzain, Menatari is muta b'achila, but midrabbanan you're not allowed to eat it. Right? So then the Gemara is gonna continue. It's gonna go on for a while. Okay, we'll save this for next week. They're trying to prove whether Rabbi Yudah is a pukim esafkale or Rabbi Yudah is mifshe pshitale. In the back of the Gemara, they quote that there's a Medrash in Bereshis Rabba on the Parsha of Vayishlach, on the Parsha of Gid Anosha, that they quote the Tana Rabbi Yossi holds that it goes only on the left leg, not on the right leg. Vaket from Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says only the right leg. And the Rabbi Yossi in the Bereshis Rabba holds only the left leg. The Gemara is going to explain how do you prove the right leg, the left leg, how do you prove any of this? It's interesting, after the Mabul is all over, so the Rebbeinu Shel Olam feels it important to mention Shafech Dam Ha'adam Ba'adam Dam Ha'yishafech, that you're not allowed to murder. Why the Dora Mabul was not known for murder? They were known Kimal Ha'aretz Chomas. There was a lot of Gezel Pachas Meshavaputa. Why did the Rebbeinu Shel Olam have to repeat the prohibition of Shfichas Damim, the Isser of Gezel? So I think the Mefarshim say that you have an Aseres HaDibros, there are different versions in the Medrash. How were the Aseres HaDibros written? So one Medrash is of the opinion, the Aseres said each one of the Luchas was a cube, Amalam, Amalam. So my opinion is that all Aseres HaDibros were written on all four sides of both cubes. And the other opinion is the way we usually have on Aparechas, you have 1 to 5 on one and 6 to 10 on the other one. So according to that version, the way we usually have 1 to 5 and then 6 to 10, so 6 is on the same level as 1, so the Meiri in the Hakdamah to Shas quotes a Medrash. I never looked it up, I just remember from the Meiri. Meiri quotes a Medrash that Lo Sirtzach is Mechuban Keneged Anochi Hashem Alakecha, because we believe in God and we believe that God created man B'Tzelem Elokim, so therefore there's the din of Lo Sirtzach. And then it says, "Leisinot is mechubi kaneg the yuloch alei mecherim al panai." So just like if a woman is married, she's not allowed to have an affair with someone other than her husband. So the Jewish people are married with the Rebbeinu Shlomo, not allowed to have an affair with any avodah zarah. We only have to have one God, like the wife only has one husband, and so on. The Medrash continues that the myth of the eighth one is mechubi kaneg the third, and so on. So the Yisr Ritzicha is based on the premise that man was created B'Tzelem Elokim. Man is created, but after the Dora Mabul, there was such hashchosik, hishchis kalbosis, dark al ha'aretz, that one might have perhaps thought that human beings lost their Tzelem Elokim. So that's what Rabbanu Shlom says. The Tzelem Elokim is much weaker now, as the Shvach Tzelem Elokim, but I'm repeating still, there's a din, there's still an Yisr of Ritzicha, even though there's a Shvach Tzelem Elokim. That's the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Chaviv Adam Shenibri B'Tzelem Chaviv Yisrael Shenikru Bonam Lamokim. So we usually assume Chaviv Adam, all of mankind was created B'Tzelem Elokim. Chaviv Yisrael Shenikru Bonam Lamokim. We have more Tzelem Elokim. We have Tzelem Elokim square. We have like the children carry over the DNA from the parents. So the Jewish people are Bonam Lamokim. We have more Tzelem Elokim. Like we have the DNA from the Rebbeinu Shalom, a stronger degree of Tzelem Elokim. That's the way we usually assume. And some of the Mefarshim say not so. Chavivara means Adam Arishim was created with Tzelem Elokim. And the Kuzari writes like this. And the Tzelem Elokim, he calls it the Inyan Hu Eloki, he only transmitted to Sheis. Adam Sheis Enesh, Kena Mahalalo, Yered, Chanoich, the way it says in the beginning of Dibra Yomim, Adam Arishim only transmitted the Tzelem Elokim to one of his sons. And he transmitted, Sheis only transmitted Adam Sheis Enesh, and Kena Mahalalo, Yered. Each one only transmitted Tzelem Elokim to one. And then it came, after 20 generations came Avraham Avinu, he only succeeded in transmitting Tzelem Elokim to Yitzchak. He didn't succeed, there was no Tzelem Elokim passed on to Yishmael. And Yitzchak had twin sons, Yaakov and Esav, he only succeeded in transmitting Tzelem Elokim to Yaakov and not Esav. And Yaakov Avinu is Mitosa Shleima. Mitosa Shleima doesn't only mean all of his children were Jewish, all of the Jewish people have Tzelem Elokim. So bottom line, the Ummah Salam today don't have Tzelem Elokim. That's what the Kuzari seems to assume, that this Inyan Ha'alaki, Chavivad M'shirib Etzal, means Adam Arishon. But we usually assume not like that. We usually assume Chavivad means all of mankind was created with Tzelem Elokim. So that's what some say, that's the Pshat and the Pus. And that's what some also say, I think Rav Hutner has this in his the Drushas, and Pachad Yitzchak has an interesting word. The Gemara learns off in the Pasuk, Yomam v'layla lo yishbosu, that Anochi Sheshavas is Chayv Misa. Non-Jew is not allowed to observe Shabbos. Why was that mentioned over here in Parshas Noach after the Mabul? So he says the observance of Shabbos was given to the Jewish people. We were all created B'Tzelem Elokim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says V'halachta B'drachav, I want you to preserve your B'Tzelem Elokim. How do you preserve the B'Tzelem Elokim? Look in the Tanakh and find out what are the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and emulate those midas, so you'll preserve your B'Tzelem Elokim. So one of the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is he created the world in 6 days and he rested on Shabbos. So observance on Shabbos is a chelik of the mitzvah V'halachta B'drachav. So if a Nochri should Shavas, what's obid? The Nochri should Nochri also has Tzelem Elokim. So that's Rav Hutna suggests, up until the Mabul, if a Nochri would want to emulate the ways of Hashem and observe Shabbos, it would have been Mutter. But after the Mabul, Kihishchis, Kalbosar, and Zdarko, because the Tzelem Elokim was in such a low level, it was so Shvach. And as we said in the Chumash, had to repeat the Issa Ritzicha, because one might think there's no more Issa Ritzicha, because the Tzelem Elokim is so Shvach. And the whole Yisra Tzich is based on the fact that the man has Tzelem Elokim. So after the Mabul, because the Tzelem Elokim is so Shvach, now this Yisra begins. Nochri Sheshavas Chai Misa, it doesn't make sense for the Nochri to emulate the ways of Hashem by observing Shabbos. Kodem HaMabul, in the earlier generations, when they had a stronger degree of Tzelem Elokim, if they wanted to, they could have observed Shabbos as a chelik of the Inyan of Halach the Bedroch. But after the Mabul, it was at such a low level of Tzelem Elokim, that's when it didn't make sense. An interesting Ein Tov, that the Yisr only began after the Mabul of Lo Yishbos. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Myra.
Good.
Huh?